number 8. Just one verse of scripture and we'll see what's going to happen here. Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nation which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Would you pray together with me right now and let's ask for God's anointing in this place. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on, love Him for a minute here right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. May be seated. The psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? In another passage, actually in a few other ones, the psalmist looks to the heavens, looks to the stars. How vast, how miraculous, how marvelous, how mysterious the galaxy is. As he would set out in the nighttime, you can only imagine what it was like before we had light pollution, before street lights, before all of the artificial lighting that we have in the world today. How spectacular on a clear night the sky is. Anyone ever had an opportunity to get away from light pollution and see the sky? If you haven't, I'm telling you something right now. Those of you that take vacations or take trips, you do yourself a favor to find somewhere that you can go that you can get a distance from light pollution. There's areas around the Grand Canyon. When I say the Grand Canyon, I'm talking about those states. There's areas in there being able to go out in the middle of the ocean on a cruise, different places that you can go that you can get away from as much light pollution as possible and to observe the sky. And then you get a little bit better understanding of why people of bygone era was so fascinated with the sky, so fascinated with the stars, the moon, and all that went on. And the psalmist said, whenever I looked at it, and this is the amazing thing, when God spoke to him, he says, not only did I make them, but I know each of them by name. The stars, the millions upon billions of stars, God didn't just speak it into existence and fling it out there and then just leave it to nothing, but he took care in knowing each and every one of those stars, the from the smallest to the largest, each of those chunks of rock and meteor, and he knows all of them. I mean, you know, can you imagine what it was like for Pluto to find out that after all these years that he really wasn't a planet at all? But to God, he mattered just the same. It didn't matter. It didn't change God's value system of Pluto whenever the scientist and the all-knowing man said, you know what, we've decided that, you know, in this day of spectacularism, that you really don't make the cut, and so you're cut. You're no longer a planet. And so you're nothing. But God said, no, you are something. Every one of them, God has named them. But yet, you are of more value than any single star, any single planet out there. God spoke it into existence. God put it into orbit. God put it into spinning. And he said, you know what? It's going to last until I say this is the end. And it's just there doing its thing. Amen. God isn't out there making for sure that the sun gets up in the morning. The sun gets up in the morning every morning because God said the day that he spoke it into existence and said, let there be, and this is the way it's going to be, that you're going to have 24-hour days, and this is how it's going to happen, and this is what's going to take place. God did all of that on the day of creation that he created it, and it goes on without question, without rebellion, without argument, without fear, without anything. He said, you look at the flowers of the field, and you observe, and I thought of this in the funeral the other day, that, you know, all the beautiful flowers that was there, but not one of them got up this morning. Whenever I pulled in, I told my wife, I said, obviously we will be mowing this week, and the grass is starting to grow, and what we call Easter, what us rednecks call Easter lilies, we've got these beautiful things in our yard, and I'm seeing them come up everywhere, and they really like septic tank areas, by the way, and I don't have a septic tank, but I've noticed that, you know, that boy, they just really just grow, and they do so great around those areas, but, you know, they're coming up. You know, none of them had to get up this morning and say, oh my goodness, I gotta work again today, I've gotta get, because if I don't, I won't eat, I won't make it. No, the Bible says that they get up, amen, and they don't have to worry, they don't toil, they don't labor, amen, but yet there is, the beauty of them is so amazing. You can look out in some of the yards now and some of the fields, and isn't it amazing to pass by a field that they let go and they haven't farmed, and you will see the purple haze out there of whatever that purple stuff is. I thought it was purple clover, but somebody told me, no, it's not, you dummy. You don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, whatever it is, it's purple beautifulness. Or you'll pass by a field and it'll be filled with what people said, nope, that's a daisy, that's not a flower. That's a weed, that's not a flower. And you look out there and you see all those dandelions, amen, and that, well, you could call it a weed if you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, that field of weeds is some of the most gorgeous, spectacular panoramic view that you can see whenever you look out and you see it. And it didn't work. It didn't toil. It didn't go to the factory. It didn't invest in a 401k. Amen. God sees to it that it's taken care of. Amen. And in all of its beauty, no matter how hard you try, you can't buy clothes expensive enough. You can't buy your way to the beauty that nature flings at us every morning visually. Amen. And God prepared it all, but you are of so much more value than all of that. And he said, listen to me. He said, if I will take care of those Easter lilies that you're talking about, if I will beautify those dandelions in that field, if I'll make that field purple with haze, amen, how much more will I take care of you, because you matter to me. Our choices today, our words, our attitudes, our tempers, our patience, it will have consequences years down the road. It will have consequences in your life, and it will have consequences in other people's lives. You look at David, you look at King David, and where he should have been. You can You can read in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and you can observe David's life and you can see David, his job was to go out to battle. His job was to lead the people to battle. His job was to be out there. Amen. But David decided that, you know what? I'm insignificant. I'm old now. I really can't wield a sword like I one time could. And I've paid my dues and they don't really need me out there. All I am is just a figurehead. And I really don't matter to them today. I'm just a king and I'm not going to make one hill of beans difference in that battle. And so I'm not going to go out. And you'll find that David decided not to go. He played hooky from what he was supposed to be doing. Amen. And his choices cost him several visits. Amen. To the funeral home for loved ones. A trail of tears followed him all the way to his grave because he decided that it really didn't matter if he was there that day or not. Amen. All because he chose to just play hooky. Your choices will affect you. Amen. But they won't only affect you. They will affect others around you. I ask you to consider today, why am I here? What am I doing here? How did I get here? Amen. Could I be doing more? Is this really all that matters? No, you say, I'm insignificant. I don't matter. You look at this service this morning, even those of you that are visiting here today, and you'll say, I play no role in this service today. Oh, you, I want you to understand today, God saw you walk in this building. It gladdened God's heart to see you in His house today because you do matter to God. You matter to this group of people, amen, but you also matter to God. You say, nope, I blew it. I don't matter. I've made too many mistakes and I've made too many great sins. I want to tell you today, God cares about you and you do matter and you do have something to give. Amen. And God is looking for you today, amen, to be willing to give that. What are you doing here? How did you get here? Could I be doing more? Amen. Is there something that I could do? Amen. The enemy wants to knock you unconscious today with your insignificance, that your part doesn't really matter, that it wouldn't matter if you were in this service or if you wasn't in this service. I want you to hear me right now. You do matter. Amen. You matter to me, but more importantly, you matter to God. He said, matter of fact, don't you forget it, that when somebody messes with you, it's like they're trying to poke me right in the eye. Yeah, and there isn't a single one of us that can sit there and go without blinking and do everything we can to keep somebody from poking us in the eye. God said, that's exactly how I'm going to protect you. I wonder if we couldn't just love the Lord here right now. Come on. Thank Him for His goodness. Hallelujah. Thank Him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm reminded of a story. The great king, he was going to have a feast for his kingdom. He said, we'll provide all the meat. We'll provide all the side dishes. We'll provide all the desserts. We'll provide absolutely everything. Only thing that I ask is for each one of you is just to bring a quart of wine to put in the vat. And that's all that you got to do is just bring your grape juice and pour it into the vat and that'll be your contribution to the feast. But everything else is going to be provided. And you know, as farmer gets up that day and hadn't been a real great season, he didn't have a whole lot to give, and he really felt so insignificant to the kingdom. He didn't matter to the kingdom. And it was going to cost him to be able to give that court. He thought, you know, what's it going to matter what I bring? My court's not going to make any difference. And so he got the bright idea that he would just fill his court jar with water. And when people weren't paying attention, he'd pour his little clay jar into the vat, they wouldn't know the difference. What he had was so cheap. What he had was so insignificant. It wasn't going to matter anyway. One by one, the 50s and the hundreds and the thousands showed up for the kingdom and from the kingdom and for the feast that was going to be had. And such a great feast it was going to be. And to start off the feast, the king finally comes out and he welcomes everybody from the kingdom there. And he says, thank you so much for coming. This is such a special occasion. And it's such an honor to have you today. I spared no expense in providing the very best that we have. And you're going to eat like you've never eaten before, and it's all you can eat. Have all you want. And he said, to open the feast, I'm going to take and fill my goblet first, and then the rest will follow, and we're just going to have a good time here today. And so the king goes over to the vat, and there he turns the spigot, and he fills his goblet, and as it comes out to everybody's horror, all that goes into his glass is just water. Because you see, one after another felt like, I'm insane. Significant. I don't count. It really doesn't matter what I do in this kingdom. Nobody's going to pay attention. What I contribute is so small. Amen. So each and every one of them, all they did was bring water. And so all that came out of the spigot was water. What's the point? The point is this. You do matter to the kingdom of God. You do matter, amen, to this world. You do matter to your family. You do matter to those around you. You do matter to those that you work with. The little bit that you do and the little bit that you say. I don't care if you think you're too young or you think you're too old or you've made too many mistakes. Amen. God has something for you to do today. And you might feel like it's insignificant, but you're not insignificant. You see, that's a lie from the pit of hell to get you to sit on your seat of do-nothing and not get involved. But just bring what little bit you have, amen, and pour it in, and see what happens. See how God can bless. See how God can minister. God never meant for us to see how big the giants are, and how insignificant and how little we are. That was never the plan of God. It's always the enemy that's pointing out to you how big your problems are, and how small and insignificant you are. But you remember this. Just as David said when he went to fight Goliath, you come to me with sword and with spear. You come to me 9 foot tall and with all the expertise since you was a child they've invested in you. But I'm not coming to you with sword or with spear. I'm not coming to you from some elite army detachment, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And you remember today that that's exactly what you're doing. You are the apple of his eye. Amen. You're not doing this alone. Amen. But you're facing this day. You're facing this hour. Amen. Come on, somebody hear me this morning. I might just be preaching to myself today, but I want you to hear me right now. God is looking for somebody to just invest the little bit that you have. Amen. Just give that little bit that you've got. You say, it's not going to matter. I don't have anything to give. Amen. Yes, you do. Give everything you got. Amen. And God will take and multiply it. I mean, we've got story after story after story. You look at the little child with his Happy Meal that his mother sent him out with that day. We don't know if there were 5,000 there that day or if there were 20,000 there that day. We have no idea, but we do know this. It was a huge crowd, way more than that, than any child's Happy Meal could ever feed. Amen. But whenever he was willing to give that meal, amen, to the Lord, praise God, it fed everybody that was there, and they took up 12 baskets full later. Why? Because one child had the faith of a child. Oh God, give us the faith of a child. So all you have is a Happy Meal. Don't be embarrassed by what you got. Give it to the kingdom of God. Say, here it is, Lord. If there's any way you can use me, Lord, use me. If there's any way that I can be a blessing to somebody today, let me be a blessing to somebody today. Don't focus on how big your giant is. Don't focus on how big the problems are. Focus on your God. Amen. Look a little bit higher than that 9-foot-tall giant and see the God of gods. Amen. He's able to take care of you today, that at the name of Jesus, there is no mountain that cannot be moved. There is no miracle that cannot be had. In the name of Jesus, they can rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, the deaf ears can hear. In the name of Jesus, the tongue can talk. In the name of Jesus, your problems can vanish and become a miracle. Amen. I'm going to tell you how people get miracles. They get miracles not by great faith. I said they get miracles not by great faith. I can show you people in the Bible that had great miracles, and the Lord accused them of having little faith. Peter walked on the water with little faith. I'm going to tell you what makes a difference is you take whatever you've got, little or lot. It matters not. What matters is that you make it available to God. Amen. Just put it in God's hands. If it's just a little meal and just a little cruise of oil, whatever it is, just put it in the hands of God. Amen. Put God first in your life. Let the Lord bless. Despise not the day of small things. I said, despise not the day of small things. I'm going to tell you the difference between people that have miracles and people that don't have miracles. The difference is the people that have miracles turn their problems over to God. The people who don't have miracles are the people that cling to their problems with a death grip and say, no, this is mine, and I don't matter enough to God. You are being disrespectful to God to say you don't matter enough. Amen. You're saying that God's character is somehow flawed. You're saying it has nothing to do with you. You are bad-mouthing God. You don't want a bad-mouth God, do you? Amen. God loves you. God cares about you. Amen. He knows everything there is to know about you, and yet he still loves you. Amen. You are his child. He said, come unto me, every single one of you that are weary and you're wore out. Come unto me and cast your cares upon me, because I care for your soul. I've got Bible story after Bible story of people that failed, but God used. And I've got Bible story after Bible story of people that should have made it, but they didn't make it. It looked like they had everything that there was to offer a person in ability. Amen. They had it all put together, but they never accomplished a thing. Your failure has nothing to do with your ability to be used in the kingdom of God. If you will just get up one more time, then you fall down. If you sit here this morning and in your heart you're telling yourself, I can't be used of God, I'm a backslider, I'm going to tell you, if you're a backslider, this is the awesome thing. You ever play a board game, amen, where you spin the wheel or whatever, or you land on a certain spot and it allows you to skip ahead 5 or 6 spaces? This is the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. That when you make up your mind, I've been down long enough, or I've been backslid long enough, God, I'm here today. Amen. He takes you and he will move you all the way back up. Amen. He'll give you everything that you have lost. That's the power of our God. You say, oh, I can't do it. I've lost too much. Watch and see if God doesn't put everything back into your hands that you have lost. Amen. Watch and see if God doesn't turn around and begin to mold you and make you into a vessel of honor. Amen. No matter how marred you are, He will make you into something that He can use. Amen. I'm going to tell you today, give yourself to God. Become the great. You know what's awesome? And nobody here is this bad. I'm obviously choosing the worst person I can think of that comes to my mind right now. But somebody like, I don't know, Adolf Hitler. You could be an Adolf Hitler sitting here today. This is the awesome thing. Our minds can't comprehend it. But God loves you so much. You could be Adolf Hitler sitting here today. Amen. And if you would come to God and repent of your sins and get baptized in His precious name. Amen. God says, whosoever will, let him come. And God could take you and make you into something great. You don't believe me? Go and read the story of Saul. Saul was an Adolf Hitler before there was ever an Adolf Hitler. Saul was going around and persecuting the church. Saul was going around and having the church thrown in prison. He was having people killed. He was having people murdered simply because they were a child of Jesus Christ. Simply because they were living for God. That's exactly what Saul was doing. But whenever he come into contact with God Almighty, amen, he already thought he was in contact with it. But when he truly came in contact with, he had a choice to make, and instead of him saying, you know what, I can never be used, I've made too many mistakes, no, he repented of his sins. And we have 30 years of the apostolic ministry of a man that was one time Saul that now became Paul. And you and I today know how to walk in the Spirit. We know how to talk in the Spirit because Paul was willing to allow God to use him. He went from being Adolf Hitler to being one of the greatest tools ever used in the kingdom of God. If he could do it with Saul and make him a Paul, he can do it for you today. Can we love him again here today? God's not impressed with personalities. But sincere faithfulness in the little things. Some people are waiting until God uses them in a big thing. Doesn't work like that. Be faithful in the little things. And then He'll move you to the big things. The psalmist said, I'd be happy just to be a greeter at the door. That's all I gotta be. I want the musicians to come. Hallelujah. Your family members are rare diamonds. I'm talking to that individual that's down today. Get up. Your family deserves you getting up. You're not getting up just for you. You're getting up for your family. Get up. Get your head up. You're not an orphan. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High. What is man that thou art mindful of him? A psalmist said, the son of man that thou visiteth him. And our reading text has said, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. We stand in the gap for those making wrong choices. Our faith, our prayer claims them today in Jesus' name. This church, your family, this world needs some people to stand in the gap. But the devil's got you to think that you're too little, you're too insignificant. I'm not going to argue whether or not you're too little or too insignificant to this world. That's okay. He's big. He's grand. He's all powerful. He's God. It's not in what you have to bring. It's just being available. That's all it's going to take today. You. I said that's all it's going to take from you. Is there anybody that's willing to say, "Hear my Lord, use me"? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to open these altars this morning. Is there anybody here that's willing to come and kneel in this altar and say, "God, what this preacher's preached this morning, what the pastor's preached, I know it's your word. God, even though I have little faith, I'm willing. Would you use me? Won't you come? Won't you allow the Holy Ghost to minister? Not just to you." See, that's a problem. We come wanting God to bless us. We need to move past that stage and say, "God, you blessed me so many times. Can I be a blessing to somebody else? Can you use me to bless somebody else? I'm here right now, dear God." Come on, is there somebody else? I bless these that's coming, but I know that there's got to be more of you that the Holy Ghost is speaking to today. Is there anybody? Come on, you matter. God just needs somebody to bring what they've got and give it to Him in the name of Jesus. Come on. This is how revival happens. You don't wait on God to bring revival. You bring revival by coming and saying, Here am I. Use me. Here I am, dear God. Use me. Come on, is there somebody else? Come on, in the name of Jesus, your family's waiting on you to get up. Your children's waiting on you to get up. Your loved ones are waiting on you to get up. Your lost world's waiting on you to get up. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't want people to look at, forget about people. Allow God to use you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As they begin to sing, can we fill these altars this morning? In the name of Jesus. Come on. That's it. Let's open up to the Lord. Praise Him.
Amen.